of its confusion and complexities, you continue to be gracious to us. You continue to meet with us with your simple word, which says, I forgive you and I love you. So Lord, let us rest in your forgiveness and love today. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we begin, I want you to consider the prayer of confession. I know we've been doing it every week, and I don't ever want it to just become a meaningless ritual for you. If it does, that's your fault. That's not my fault. It's not the church's fault. It's your fault. And I say that to put us in the right position for it, because it helps us to realize that we're the ones that have this rebellious nature against God. We're the ones that wants to control everything, to feel like things will be good if we have. We're the ones who need to recognize we are at the end of our rope in a lot of different ways. And that's all this is. It's the freedom to admit that you don't have power and control over everything. And then it's the receiving the God who does have all control, receiving his word that says, I know you're at the end of your rope, and that's where I meet you to save you. So receive it. So discipline yourself as we go through this to receive God's forgiveness. Actually rest on it, even if it's the only moment all week. This is the great, one of the greatest blessings we have as the people of God. So let's pray together the prayer of confession and then receive the absolution given to us by the word of God. It's on page D. Let's read together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
And this is the part now to receive. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you. It's for his sake that he forgives you all your sins. And as a called and ordained minister of Christ and by his authority, I tell you his word. It's important for you to hear. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us to receive it. Give us the faith to rest in the reality that you have forgiven us, Lord, and that even knowing we need forgiveness is a gift and a work of your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you. We rest in it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our meditative reading for today is Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. This is found on page 355 in our Bibles. Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Lord, I ask that you help us fix our eyes upon you and the salvation that you offer. That as everything around us is shaken and changed, that we recognize that you are eternal and your love for us will never end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first reading for today is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, and it is on page 480 of our Bibles. Again, it's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Now we will turn to Romans chapter 11. So continuing the series on the book of Romans, chapter 11, and we'll begin verse 33. We'll go through chapter 12, verse 8. So on page 551 of the Bibles provided, or Romans chapter 11, verse 33 on your phone. Get our minds back into what Paul has been talking about. He's been saying that Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. We've always been saved by faith. It's never been by works. It's all by mercy. It's all by God's grace. And then he gets to verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Romans 12. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
And Matt's had a baby. His wife's had a baby. But I have to remind him, his wife had a baby. So it's time to get back to work and preach today. No, he was wanting to, and it's perfect timing. So looking forward to hear what...
So here we are. Life is constantly changing. As I am daily being confronted with. There's been a big change in my life. And the things that I used to do and used to rely on, my morning routine has been blown out of the water. Having a infant has definitely messed up my life in a great way. But honestly, a lot of the things that I relied on and thought about and worked for, and it was changed. Everything that I set my heart on is changed in a moment with the birth of this new human that I didn't know. And now all of a sudden, I'm pouring all this time and love and energy into this beautiful human that I technically don't even really know, but I love with all my heart. Change happens in an instant. Yesterday, I was perfectly happy in my home, and my parents showed up saying, hey, there's a house right down the road that is a great deal, and I think you should put an offer in. And yesterday morning, never thought I'd wake up putting an offer on a house, but I did. Life changes in an instant. Things that you think are sure all of a sudden change. Earlier this year in March, I was at the beach with my family, having a lovely vacation. And the world that we all knew and loved changed in a week. Beaches were being shut down. I watched my dad as the stock market plummeted. Things that we thought and put our hope and trust in shifted overnight. The things of this world pass. And yet we put our trust in them all too often, all too freely. With zeal, we put our trust into them, thinking these things will never let us down. These things will never change. These people will be with us forever. We'll always be friends. We'll always have a great relationship. There'll always be money. I'll always have this job. We put our trust and hope in passing things. And I think this year, more than any other year that I've witnessed being alive or experienced, has really shown how passing things are and how quick we are to grab hold onto anything that we can to stay afloat. And oftentimes, it's just more temporary things. A political ideal, another job, another person. And we just keep clinging to more and more things that are going to slip or fade or pass or let us down. So today I want to remind us that we have a sure foundation, that we have something that is greater than what the world can offer, because what we have comes from God Himself, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we look at Romans chapter 11, verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul, in the middle of this letter, has to take a moment and go and say, remember, what we have is from God. And what God has is unknowable to us. It's a mystery. Unless he gives it to us. What God has, we cannot get for ourselves unless God gives it to us. And what we have in Matthew, you have Jesus asking a very simple question. Who does the world say I am? And his disciples give a multitude of answers, because who Jesus is a mystery to the world. He's just a man, a prophet, a reincarnation. He's a mystery. I don't know. And then Jesus asks the real question. Who do you say I am? And this is the question to you. This is Jesus' question to you. Who do you say Jesus is? And Peter speaks up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, you are blessed. Not because you came to this conclusion yourself, but because this is a gift. This is the great mystery. If you can say that, that means the Father has given you the gift of the universe. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is your Messiah, he is your Savior, and he is from God. And you did not get him on your own. He was given to you freely as a gift. And Jesus says that declaration is an unshakable foundation. Everything else in the world will change. Everything else will pass away. But that declaration of who Christ is will never change. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be overcome or overwhelmed. It cannot be contained by hell. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against that. It will not prevail against that foundation. Why? We confess this every week. Jesus Christ died and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. Hell could not contain Christ. The gates of hell crumbled, and Christ burst through them, leaving them wide open. And all who stand on that foundation cannot be overwhelmed by the gates of hell. We stand on an unshakable foundation when we say, Jesus is my Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything else will pass away, that will not. The world will try to convince you that that's silly and foolish, but it is not. You will not be ashamed for that. It is a mystery to the world. They cannot understand it, but you do. So you do not have to play the games of the world. You do not have to look to the solutions of this world for our constant crisis. We cling to the one thing that never changes, Jesus Christ. Because all of our other solutions will change, and they are changing constantly. And we're free to engage them, but we need to remember that we are anchored to Christ and Christ alone. And that this reality is passing. Mask or no mask, that reality will pass. That debate will end. Trump or Biden, that debate will end. That will pass away. sickness or no sickness, these things pass. These things move on. And I just want to remind you to not go all in on these things. You are more than your political identity. You are more than your social circle. You are more than your career. You are a Christian, and you stand on the unshakable foundation of Jesus Christ. And that unshakable foundation changes you. Changes you into something more. If we look in Romans 12, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. By the mercies of God, by God's means of grace, by the foundation that Jesus is your Christ and the Son of the living God, it makes you, it creates you into a living sacrifice. I know that's a phrase you might have heard if you've grown up in the church world, a living sacrifice, and it just kind of rolls over our heads. But do you understand that that's a paradoxical statement? Sage, what do you do to a sacrifice? Correct. You kill it. Yeah. You kill it. And here, Paul is saying, you are a living sacrifice. What does that mean? The foundation of Christ transforms you into a living sacrifice. Something that while you are dying, you are still alive. What kills you and makes you back to life within our Christian setting?
Jesus Christ.
Correct.
And baptism.
Yes. So Jesus Christ kills you and brings you back to life in your baptism. You are made a living sacrifice. Your sinful nature is drowned. That's why we, like the water image, the flood, God's word in the water drowns your sinful nature and raises up your saintly nature. So now you are a sinner and a saint. You are dying, and yet you live. The sin in you is dying, and yet you live. You are turned into something new. This is what the foundation of Christ does to you, because you are in a world that's constantly changing and constantly trying to capture you. And so God is constantly putting to death in you your sin and recreating and reforming you. Then Paul says, and this is your body, by the way. He says, your bodies. Like, physical. Like, we are body and spirit. We're not just one. Then he moves on to, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So now he moves to our minds, because we're still in a broken world. We still watch countless hours of television that is telling us a broken narrative that's slowly informing us what reality, what they think reality is. Satan is constantly attacking you and trying to tell you a different reality, a different narrative, a different message, a different story. trying to convince you that things are hopeless and that you need to just take what you can get. And God says, no, you are built on my foundation. And I will continue to transform your mind. God does this. This is not something you have to do, but you do have to show up to where he transforms your mind. He does this through the preaching of the word, through baptism, through absolution. When we say, you are forgiven, your mind is being transformed. Through the eating of the body and blood of Christ, you are being renewed and transformed. You are being restored to the real narrative that though you die, you will not die. That though you are a sinner, you are a saint. That even though everything else around is crumbling, God's salvation is eternal. God's love for you will never end. This is things I need to anchor on. I need to anchor on this as I'm holding my screaming child at 2 a.m. and all I want to do is go back to sleep and hold on and recreate my comfortable world before she entered it. But I sit there and I hold her and I go, Lord, this will pass, but your love for me and your love for Mabel is eternal. So give me that love, because I need it. And give that love to Mabel, because she needs it. It anchors us. It tethers us. Because I know for myself, I start to get into the little details, the minutiae, and I get all worked up about all the little things that are happening in the news and all everyone's inconsistencies, my own inconsistencies, and how I'm handling the coronavirus. And I'm starting to freak out about it because no one's doing it right. I'm not doing it right. And yet I have to go, Lord, you are consistent, even though I'm not. Please forgive me. Please give me your consistency. Give me your love. And I can stand on that. And I will cling to that because I have nothing else. Because the moment I start to cling to anything else, it changes. It disappears. It fades away. But your love never does. This foundation transforms our bodies into living sacrifices. It renews our minds, and then it unites us to not only God, but to each other. One of the reasons God calls us to gather, to physically gather, is so that we can look someone else in the eyes and say, I see you. I care about you. God loves you. You are forgiven. That one of the means of grace is the conversation of other believers. We were not built for isolation. That's what death tries to do. Jesus breaks into death and says, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You are part of a community. You are the church. And he says, you are another paradoxical statement. Though you are many, you are one. You are united. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You are bigger than yourself. says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. God gathers us together on this foundation. And when we are together, remember, as we are disagreeing over our political ideals or how best to handle our current situation, remember what you share. You share the declaration that Jesus is our Christ, and he is the Son of the living God. Remember that. We are united together in that. We are united together when we take this supper. And that foundation is eternal. All these other differences and disagreements, they will end. So forgive each other, love one another, and remember that we are united to Christ. God loves us. His love is eternal. Everything else fades. But his love transforms you into a living sacrifice. He renews your minds. He unites us to one another and reminds us that we're not alone. And he says, no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what Satan does to you, stand on this foundation and you will prevail. You have an unshakable foundation in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us where we have put our trust in temporary things and things that quickly fade and pass away. Forgive us. And Lord, we turn our eyes to you and we confess, we declare, we announce, we proclaim that Jesus, you are our Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Your salvation is eternal. Your righteousness is forever. And it will not put us to shame. That with you, we defy Satan, his army of angels, and we break through the gates of hell. Because we know your kingdom is forever. Lord, continue to give us your mercy and grace. Continue to strengthen our weak faith that dangles on a string. Strengthen us, sustain us with your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I want to take some time to pray for one another.
Yeah, I had some specific prayer requests.
Yes.
For us and going on today. One of the prayer requests is, you know, Larry? Remember Larry?
Yeah.
He has been in really bad physical shape. It's not from the virus, but even before the virus, he's been in bad health, and he's been on a ventilator, and he just opened up his eyes, but he's almost like in a coma. And so Ruth has been asking me, I've been praying with her, and he's in the hospital, and so we're praying for Larry, that God just heals him. So that's one of the things that we want to pray for. I forgot the other one now. Oh, well. That's a big one. Go ahead.
We also
yes
want to pray for the Strongs. They are moving to California on a great California adventure. And they asked that we would pray for them and bless them as they go where God is leading them. And so we did want to take a moment to pray for them.
Yeah, and I just want to take the moment to pray for them, but also explain something to you all, that if you ever leave us, even if you're mad at us and you hate us, let us send you off with a blessing. It's one of the great gifts we have as the church. Like, we get to announce God's blessing. Even if you don't like us anymore and you're just going down the road, let us close it and bless each other, okay? Especially when God's calling you somewhere else, let us be a blessing. Because too often, I'm just telling you my heart, it's not because you're angry, you just feel embarrassed, or you think you're going to come back, or don't do that. We just have to grow up a little bit and go, this relationship is ending and God's moving, and it allows closure, it allows grace and love. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. So that's why I'm saying it now, is like the way you leave a church really matters. Because I've grieved for people for years. I can never grieve properly, and they're just gone. So at least do it for us, even if you hate us. Let us grieve you moving on or you hating us. That's fine. We can handle it with the love of Christ. But if you want to be a responsible person who's loving and kind, let us finish it with an embrace the way we started it. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but it's really awful when you just slink away. It is. It's awful on spiritual levels for you and for us, but mostly for you, because we get to talk to God every day and pray all the time, and you don't. So I'm just telling you, it's worse for you trying to do a job and have all that going on and thinking you just hate us, but you have a God problem. Anyway.
So follow the example of the Strongs.
So we love. So my point is.
Follow their strong example.
My point is, we love to do this, even though we're sad and we're like, oh, we're not going to see you anymore. It's still a great gift. So thank you for letting us pray for you. And then we believe God will bless them. Because honestly, they're doing the scariest thing known to man, which is going to California. Like, talk about you're now entering the mission field. Like, that is, if there is such a thing as purgatory. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in purgatory, but so, yeah, we want to pray and have God bless them, and we know that God can work even in California, even in Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Yes.
So those are the prayer requests, and I just want to say, too, there's moments where I'm so proud to be a part of whatever this is, the church.
Whatever this is. The church. Thank you.
It's the church. And I'm proud of you all. You love the Lord. We're doing the best we can. He's working with us. And so I'm thankful for your prayers for one another. I'm thankful for giving of time and money. And we care about all this. And because it's unshakable. So what I heard you say was, it got me all ramped up like William Wallace or something. Like, I'm ready to fight and die for Jesus Christ and his administration more than any other. I will die for it. I'll die for you. But not because I'm a martyr or anything else, but because we have Christ the King. He doesn't have a term limit. He's perfect in wisdom. He's perfect in power. He's the king we're all looking for. And he is our king. And that's what we have in common. And so it's worth, I'm like, I wanted to start cheering. Like, yes! So figure out whatever you have to. It's temporary and disagree. But man, we are of Christ. And that is forever. And we have a better king. So I'm happy to be a part of this with you guys. And I'm more confident than ever, no matter what the world does. I mean, God is with us and he is for us. And he uses us, and we're all different parts of the body, and so praise God. I didn't preach today, so I'm feeling.
Yeah, no,
I get to feel things. It's nice. But let's pray. Is there any other prayer requests coming up right now that we could go together or praise? Oh.
First, just school, but
that it's going good?
Yeah.
Good. Grace went face to face to school on Friday, and it was good. God protected her.
And we want it to continue to go well. That's
what
you're
asking. We want it to continue, yes. Awesome.
So I know, again, COVID and everything, but would you mind at least coming right here so we can all pray around you?
Can we can we touch you?
Yeah.
All right, we trust the Lord with touch here. We'll mask up.
Yes, yeah, you're good. Right there.
All right, we'll start praying for them, and then we'll move into the rest. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Strongs, for John and Lynn and Theo and Sam, and we lift them up to you now. And as we lift them up to you in prayer, we see, I see, your smile, your favor, your love upon them. Continue to shower them with healing, with freedom, and your protection, your blessing. Lord, we set them free to serve you and to love you and their neighbors as themselves. And we pray that you'd go ahead of them into California, that you would bless the work that you've called John to, that it would be a great blessing, and that you would pour out your blessing and love for one another, that this would be a great season of blessing their family, their marriage, the children. Protect them and bless them. And Lord, we put on them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that they walk into it and that you can carry it and keep it on them, even in a place like California that is burning as we speak. Lord, have mercy on California, honestly. But bless them as they go. And we thank you for them, and we ask for your blessing over the Strongs in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, I ask that you surround them with your holy angels, that you protect them from all harm, sickness, and accidents, that you bless their travel, that you protect their kids, and that, Lord, you lead them into a community of faith. I know that will be very difficult out there right now as things stand, but you part the Red Sea. You lead them into a community that will continue to give them your word, continue to give them your love, continue to strengthen their faith, where it will be a blessing to them and they will be a blessing to it. Lord, I ask that you just continue to protect their faith and that you bless Lynn and her vocation as a mother, and that you bless John and his vocation as an artist, as a creator, that both of them are vessels for your light and your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And everybody say, on the, well, I go 1, 2, 3, say amen so they hear a bunch of people together that are for them. 1, 2, 3.
Amen. Amen.
I also want to pray now, I want to continue to pray for Larry. Dear Heavenly Father, we cry out as your children. Have mercy on Larry. We love that guy, and so many people love him, and we love Ruth, and we thank you for how you raised up Larry as part of the history of this church, that we met in a school because of him, and that you worked our church and his life and his life and ours, and we pray, God, heal him. Breathe life into him. Breathe air back into him. Get him off the ventilator and restore all of his cognitive resource, everything. Restore Larry, Lord, we pray. Please have mercy. We are just your children asking. And if we're praying wrong, we trust that you intercede for us, but this is all we know. Heal, Lord. You are not only the God who forgives all our iniquities, but you heal all of our diseases. You redeem our lives from the pit. You crown us with steadfast love and mercy. Crown Larry right now with your steadfast love and mercy and life, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for our community, all of our kids going back to school, that you would protect our schools, that you would wipe out the sickness, and especially we know the kids won't behave properly. We know they're not going to take every precaution. They're going to try and do their best, but kids are humans, and we don't deserve perfect health now or ever. It's a gift. And so I pray that you would gift health to our schools and to our communities and slowly wipe out all the fear of sickness and the fear of dying where we can live again. Protect our children. We thank you for how you have, and we ask that you'd continue to. And then, Lord, I thank you and pray that you'd bless all the giving. I'm so thankful for the people here. Lord, they love you. People in our church, we love you, but we love each other, and you are making us the kind of people who are generous and able to give to your word. We're able to give everything, time, money, resources, and we're learning, and you're patient and kind with us, but I'm just really thankful today and pray that you bless all the offerings, bless all the gifts, bless all the prayers, bless us wherever we're at in our walk and in our growth in faith and in loving. Lord, bless us. We thank you for being our firm, unshakable foundation. Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You are our Lord, and we praise you. Ask all these things in Jesus' name.
And Lord, you are the God of who hears. You are the God of Samuel. And Lord, we ask, we cry out on Sam's behalf that you heal him of his gallstones, that you bless him and strengthen his body. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Just telling Val to come back in.
What's up?
So, one of the unshakable things is the reality, the promise. God gives us all a promise that we are going to eat a huge feast with him. We're going to have a feast one day where we won't worry about if the food running out. We won't worry about what's going on, the work we're missing. We won't worry about who's going to be at the table. It's going to be great. And so Jesus sets up and says, as often as you get together, I invite you to not only my word and my reign as your king, but I invite you to my meal, table fellowship, that you are my children. I'm inviting you to come and sit with me. Let me feed you. Let me give you guarantee you my protection and my blessing. Let me treat you like a father. Come to me. And so he sets up the meal, and it's at this pivotal time in our history, the history of our people. It's the night that he's betrayed. Throughout history, there's always these moments. It always comes to this moment where it looks like it's going to go one way or the other, always. You can go like the Pearl Harbor. It's like, oh, we're going to lose everything. But then it flipped, and then America got involved, and somehow we defeated that. But it could have gone the other way. There's always a moment. And the night that Jesus is betrayed is like looking bad. If you were one of his disciples, we were all being in agreement, like, oh, this is the worst thing. I mean, we're losing. We're hiding. We're hiding because they're going to kill us. And Jesus is acting weird by washing feet and saying things that are totally counter to what he should be doing. What's happening? And so Jesus then invites us to remember that moment of when it looked like it was going to go either way, because that's where you live every day. You're always on the edge. We're going to go broke. We're going to die. And that's the story of the world. That's all they can report on. That's the only news we like to hear. More hurricanes? Tell me more. I don't know why. We're so broken. Tell me more about how I can die. We're at that moment, and Jesus enters that moment where all you can see is the death and destruction. He goes, I know, surrender to it. What? Surrender. I'll surrender. And it's the night that he's betrayed that he takes the meal and he says, I'm switching this meal that we remembered Exodus. We remembered how God did the impossible. And he leads these little children. Look at these kids coming in. That's what Israel looked like, plundering the most powerful nation in the world, Egypt. They just walked out with the stuff that God gave them. It wasn't even there. And then Jesus says, yeah, I'm doing something even better. It's that moment. And in that moment, I'm going to die. It looks like a loss. It looks like we're losing. I'm going to die, but I'm going to defeat it. So that night, he takes the bread. He says, is now my body, broken, given for you, that Jesus Christ came for this moment that we would fear and never want to engage. It's the actual moment. He says, "This in this moment, I am the one breaking my body. So stop freaking out about your body. I'm breaking my body, and I'm giving it to you." And in the same way, he takes the cup and he says, "This is the wine. But this wine now is becoming my blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins," which means you gave up the inheritance. You cut yourself off from being blood-related to getting all this stuff. And Jesus says, "But I'm bringing you back in. I forgive you for your rebellion. I forgive you for your murder. And I'll take the punishment so that you can be restored to my gifts and to my reign and my rule." And so Jesus, in this moment, says, "Trust me." And the disciples do what we do. We just come to it, and we come by faith going, "I don't understand exactly, but I believe it. I trust it." And it's by God's word. He takes things like the wine and the bread, and he puts his word on it, and it becomes something else. His word of forgiveness takes a sinner, and you become a saint. God becomes a human, but he's still all God. We live in these sinner-saint paradox all the time. And so I invite you today to allow this to minister to you. First of all, see it as coming to the Lord's table. He's invited you. And then when you come, engage it by allowing him to comfort you with forgiveness and love and joy. So, Father, we pray that you would bless this as we remember that moment where you did it. You took the punishment. You took the full wrath of Satan, the world, the flesh. You took the full wrath for us. You took the full test, and you passed. And now you invite us into your joy and into your success, into your paycheck. And we come as children rejoicing. So Holy Spirit, apply this to our hearts and our minds, calm all of our fears, and continue to build us up on the unshakable confession and declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's our Lord. Amen. So that we are all one in Christ. Partake of his body and drink of his blood. This is the true body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat of it. Likewise, this is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and his coming again. You've just made it an unshakable confession. Lord, bless us. Nourish us. We thank you for your protection and your provision, for your hope, your faith, and most of all, for your eternal love, which we will enjoy now and forever. Amen.
Awesome. You may be seated.
Whew. Well, you've been saying something at the end of preaching,
yeah.
But I just want to reiterate. It's my turn to preach now. No, I just to reiterate the idea now more than ever, the unshakable foundation of Christ, that your identity is a child of faith on the confession, the declaration, the announcement. Every day announce it. This is what I heard you say. Announce and declare that Christ is Lord. Whew. Christ is Lord. And you are safe, and you are part of something bigger. You're part of the body of Christ on earth, which is the church. You're part of a future. You're part of a kingdom. And it all works out. But you're on. That's the unshakable thing we're built on. So whatever is competing for that status in your life, there's always something competing for that unshakable foundation. Surrender and let it be Christ. That gets me excited, gives me hope, and it's all we have. So that's what I heard today. Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.